Issues, Etc., regular guest Pastor Stephen Parks on why your congregation should join the Issues, Etc. 300.
If I could, I'd just like to challenge any Lutheran pastors that are listening to consider becoming one of the congregations that supports Issues, Etc. My own congregation is a very small church, and I know it can be difficult to try and budget $1,000 a year to become one of the Issues, Etc. 300. But if you're being blessed by this, as I know you are, and if your congregation is being blessed by this, as I know that it is, I submit to bring it to the congregation to prayerfully consider supporting the outreach of Issues, Etc., not only here in the United States, but also around the world. Thank you so much for what you do.
Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget. Simply go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues, Etc. The Issues, Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Well, in this election week, all the media, everyone is wondering about the political motivations of the voters. Why did they go and do what they did and make the changes they did? Joining us for the next few minutes of Issues, Etc., to talk about religion and the 2010 elections with some data, Greg Smith, he's senior researcher for the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life based in Washington, D.C. Greg, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thank you for having me.
Comparing 2010 to 2008, what's pretty much the same? What's different when it comes to religious voters?
Well, I think there's a few things to point out. The first thing to note is that Republicans made gains among a variety of religious groups, and that really parallels the party's broad-based gains among the overall electorate and white voters in particular. If we look at the overall landscape, the contours of the link between religion and politics, we see actually a lot of stability. White Protestants, a group that has traditionally been Republican, continued to vote overwhelmingly Republican by more than a 2-to-1 margin. At the other end of the spectrum, people who are unaffiliated, people who say they don't belong to any particular faith, that group has traditionally been Democratic, and we continue to see that this year. They voted for Democratic congressional candidates by a 2-to-1 margin. The group that really seems to have shifted is Catholic voters. In each of the last two elections, Catholics favored Republicans over Democratic congressional candidates by a double-digit margin. This year, Catholics voted for Republicans over Democrats by a 10-point margin.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about evangelicals in the 2010 elections. What do we know about where they went and how they voted?
Well, we're a little bit limited in what we can say about evangelicals. What we're working with right now are the exit poll data as reported on the major media websites. We don't actually have access yet to the raw data. But what we do have are some figures for white voters who describe themselves as evangelical or born-again Christians. Now, this is a group that includes Protestants, but it also includes other people. It includes Catholics. It includes people who describe their religion as something else. It even includes a few people who say they're unaffiliated with any particular faith. So we have to be a little careful. This isn't quite the same group of evangelical Protestants that we typically discuss. With all that said, however, we see that people who identify themselves as born-again or evangelical Christians continue to vote overwhelmingly Republican. This year, 78% of white born-again Christians say they voted for Republican congressional candidates. That's up from 70% in each of the last two congressional elections.
Is that a trend? Would you call that a trend?
I think what you're seeing there is the reflection of the broad-based Republican gain. So Republicans did, you know, somewhere between 5 and 8 points better among most religious groups, and that includes both their traditional supporters, like white evangelical Protestants, as well as people who typically and traditionally have supported Democrats.
Talk about those unaffiliated. Who are they again, and what do we know about how they were voting?
Well, these are people who, in the exit polls, describe their religion as none. The exit poll typically offers people about 8 different categories: Protestant, Mormon, Catholic, other Christian, Jewish, Muslim, something else, or none. The unaffiliated are people who check that box. They say they don't have any religion. In previous years, in recent elections, this group has been heavily Democratic, and that continues to be the case this year. Two-thirds of them voted for Democratic congressional districts in congressional Democrats in 2010, so they continue to be overwhelmingly Democratic. But I should note that support for Democrats declined even among this group. In 2006, for instance, the last midterm election, three-quarters of unaffiliated voters voted Democrat. That's down to two-thirds this time around.
So how would you summarize what we know now at this point, 2 days out from this election, about religious voters and how they voted?
Well, I guess the best summary would be to say that the Republican gains that we saw in the electorate as a whole and across a number of demographic groups are also reflected among the different religious groups we can look at. The overall contours of the election reflect more stability than change, however, which is to say that the groups that have traditionally been most Republican are still most Republican, and the groups that have traditionally been most Democratic are still heavily Democratic.
And again, with regard to the Roman Catholic voters, or those who self-identified as Roman Catholic voters, it sounds as though they continue to be the key swing.
Well, they're certainly the certainly the group that, compared with white Protestants on the one hand and unaffiliated voters on the other, Catholics this year, as in previous elections, tend to be somewhere in the middle. In each of the last two congressional elections, they broke for the Democratic candidates. This time around, they went Republican.
Looking at this data from not only this election but previous elections as well, do you think the media make too big a deal about white evangelicals and perhaps should concentrate a little bit more on the Catholic vote?
Well, I can't really comment on the way the media covers these things, but I certainly do think it's the case that if we focus only on white evangelical Protestants, then we do miss a lot when it comes to religion and American politics. You've got Catholics on the one hand, who are also a very large, a very important group, and a group that is more closely divided than white evangelicals, for instance. I also think one of the other groups that we've begun to pay more attention to in recent years, and rightfully so, and I think we should continue to do this, is that large and growing segment of the electorate that's religiously unaffiliated. You know, in our polls, we're finding now that 16, 17, even 18% of people describe their faith as either atheist, agnostic, or just nothing in particular. This is a group that has become one of the core constituencies of the Democratic Party in recent elections, and I think sometimes that gets lost sight of, and we should be paying attention to the voting behavior of that group as well.
Did we learn anything about how people who are actively practicing their faith vote?
Well, the exit poll this time around asked a slightly different question about religious attendance than has been the case in recent years. So we're limited in how much we can compare this time around to previous elections in that regard. However, what we do know is that people who say they attend religious services regularly, once a week or more often, they continue to vote Republican by large margins. 60% of them voted Republican this year. People who attend religious services less often, among that group, most people voted Democratic. So that is a divide that we've seen in recent years, and we continue to see it reflected in 2010.
Folks, you'll find a link to the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen on Demand page. Greg Smith is a regular guest and senior researcher for the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life, based in Washington, D.C. Greg, thank you for your time.
My pleasure.